You are listening to In the Vault with KPMG, a banking industry podcast series.
Hello and welcome to our ongoing series of conversations with people that are making a difference with how it is that we live our digital lives. Very fortunate today to have two excellent guests, Tom Haslam with KPMG. Tom, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Lance. Pleasure to be here.
And Brian Radakovich, also with KPMG.
Thank you, Wayne.
We're here today to talk about how we can enhance data quality in order to improve business decision-making and drive insights, especially in complex organizations, and wanted to sort of understand a little bit how the state of technology and business practices are evolving around this. So, Tom, let me start with you, perhaps, and tell us a little bit about some of the work that you're doing in this concept that KPMG is calling ambient data management. Tell us a little bit about where you're coming from in your practice area within KPMG.
Sure thing, Lane. I work in what's called our Digital Lighthouse, our Data and Analytics Center of Excellence. Over the years, we've been applying new approaches involving machine learning and artificial intelligence to a range of problems that our customers face in the area of customer segmentation, financial data quality, etc. Recently, given the explosion in volume and velocity of data that our clients are dealing with, we've started to turn those algorithms onto the data itself to try to maintain high data quality and enable our clients to do more with the data that they have. This concept of ambient data management uses advanced artificial intelligence and machine learning algorithms to actually monitor the quality of data, its lineage, the metadata, the master and reference data, as it flows through the data pipeline of our clients, enabling them to have higher quality data and to resolve issues faster at the source to provide that data downstream for analytical insights.
Interesting. So, Brian, maybe you can help put this into some specific context, because I know that you're very much involved in the financial services arena. Tell us a little bit about your role and how this concept that Tom has described fits into your market.
Yeah, thanks, Lane. So I'm a managing director in our FS data practice. So I work with the largest financial service institutions globally. And so as we are starting to see our clients evolve and starting to come out of this pandemic, the regulators are really putting a pressure on them, internal audits putting a pressure on them, the lines of business are putting pressure on them internally to really enhance their data quality. And as Tom mentioned, traditional rules-based approaches cannot do data quality at scale. And so when we, Tom and I got together, we thought, how can we take some of the cool things that him and his team are building in our digital lighthouse and apply it to financial service data? And how can we start to drive insights for our clients in those institutions? And so we've been working together for probably close to the last year on building out this solution specifically in our FS clients and applying it on various different data sets across the enterprise.
So, Tom, you mentioned some of these emerging technologies and, artificial intelligence and machine learning, I think, specifically. Tell us a little bit about how that's being harnessed to improve the data quality verification process.
Sure thing. Imagine a data set that has hundreds of columns and tens or even hundreds of thousands of rows. It's impossible for a human to build rules to assess the quality of such a diverse and large data set. But a machine is able to look at all of the data in the data set and almost see the fingerprint of each data element and understand, by looking at all the data around it, what seems to be the correct and then the anomalous values within that data. By looking at high enough volumes of data and understanding the historical trends and the way that data moves and changes, machines are actually able to find anomalies in the data and surface them for a user to assess. Doing that at scale, as Brian mentioned, is simply impossible for humans to define the rules, and then to continually assess and resolve anomalies. But by incorporating machine learning, we're able to look at every data element and highlight elements which would otherwise not be possible for humans to pick up, and make that process of resolving data quality issues much more effective and much, much faster.
So, Brian, what are some practical examples of this in the financial services industry? So how does this contribute to compliance? Is it an operational imperative? And also about data sources. You know, there's so many sources of information now that figure into this equation. Tell us your perspective.
Yeah, that's a good question, Lane. So we have applied this in various different areas or use cases within our financial service clients. So the original approach was to apply this on financial and regulatory reporting data so that you could be sure that the data you're submitting in your financial statements or that the data you're submitting to the regulators is complete and accurate. So we applied it across a various different sets of data that go into these reporting outputs. We then looked at it and said, well, if we can move this further up into the data lifecycle, either at your authoritative data source or even at the point where you originally capture that data in the institution, we could start to really have a bigger impact on the data quality across the enterprise, and we can catch the data quality issues as they first enter the institution. And so we're starting to apply this at all the important parts of the data lifecycle, from capture to system of record to authoritative source, and then ultimately in the way that you use that data, whether for internal purposes or, as I mentioned, reporting to regulators or different outside bodies.
And so, Tom, how is this contributing materially to the mission critical objectives or the desired future state that enterprises, including in the financial sector, are looking to achieve?
So I think that one of the imperatives of CEOs and all businesses at the moment is to support digital transformation. And that involves how organizations understand their customers, how they design products, how they report to regulators, how they operate internally. And digital transformation is complex, but it is rooted in data. If you don't have your data accurate, if it's not available, if it's not well governed, then digital transformation remains a pipe dream. And so by focusing on data quality and improving the trust that an organization has in their data, we are really enabling that digital transformation of our clients. If the data is right, if the oil is right, then the machine can run smoothly. And that's one of the most meaningful parts of my work, is improving the data quality in organizations, improves the trust in that data. And it enables these new projects, new analyses, new technologies to really be effectively adopted. So I think that one of the major benefits of this is getting the data right improves trust, improves your digital culture, and ultimately enables digital transformation.
You know, concepts, Brian, like culture and the change man and the human factor, layer eight, as some people call it, seems critical. How ready are financial institutions to embrace this? And are there new skills or new operational structures that need to be put in place to aggregate and enable the capture and the analysis of these petabytes and exabytes of data to arrive to proper conclusions?
Yeah, so there is some of that structural or organizational change that needs to happen. The institutions are ready in the sense that they have a grasp on where their data is and how you can source that data. They're ready from the standpoint that they recognize this is something that needs to be done. And for the most part, they have the technology in-house that you need to be able to perform this. What they struggle with is the actual experience of doing this in a production environment. And so a combination of our team and Tom's team have done this at several different institutions. So we're able to bring both the business and the data science piece together. We also help our clients with understanding what types of organizational structures need to be changed. So for instance, typically we help them stand up a data quality center of excellence where you will combine your traditional data quality analyst with a data scientist to build out these models or algorithms and then to actually manage the ongoing day-to-day process of identifying those anomalies, understanding if they're true data quality issues, and then remediating those.
Interesting. And Tom, you mentioned governance, and I guess my question here is, how do you know that you have a good governance structure in place? Are they porting from legacy governance structures? Do we have to reinvent how that is designed in order to support this much more automated and much broader enterprise-wide approach to mining data for insights?
The short answer is yes, it does involve a level of reorganization, both in terms of the technology, what technology infrastructure you have, how do you accept data as it flows from system to system and goes through these new pipelines. But the good news is that when you get it right, you're able to do this work at a much higher quality and actually for a lower cost, because you're able to process so much more data so much faster and find real anomalies, eliminating false positives and false negatives from the process. You're also able to manage the data, flag issues in real time as the data is flowing from system to system. And so all of this does involve a level of reorganization. But I think that's where KPMG can make such a difference, by bringing together the technical expertise from my team and the business knowledge and data quality knowledge from Brian's FS data team, by having a trusted partner who can help you to learn and understand these techniques and then administer them and implement them effectively in your organization. You're able to dramatically accelerate how you can adopt some of these new techniques. Otherwise, it would take organizations many, many years to try and fail and then retry adopting these types of technologies and techniques. We can come in, help to prove the value, and rapidly organize the technology and business infrastructure to take advantage of these new ways of working.
Interesting. Brian, from your perspective, how do you get started? What groundwork needs to be laid? How do you typically start the engagement, or what needs to be in place for you to be successful in coming in and creating an environment that lends itself to the application of these technologies and these new business processes?
Yeah, so typically the way we do this is we work with our clients to understand troublesome data sets or large data sets that they just can't run data quality on using the traditional rules-based approaches. And so once we select that data set, we really then start to deploy these models or in algorithms that Tom and his team have developed, and we start to produce these data anomalies, and our team will then go through with the client, look at these, group them, prioritize them so that they can really understand which of these are true data quality issues. And as that happens, we start to feed back the information to the model so that it gets retrained, it becomes more refined, and it's starting to produce and really narrow in on those data quality issues that the client has. So the starting point is really selecting what the first data set is, deploying it, showing the value, and then expanding that to more of an enterprise solution.
Interesting. And Tom, from a return on investment perspective, it sounds like an immense project, certainly an immense initiative. How are ultimately investments in these projects layered out? What are the metrics that matter to sort of understand how the impact, the positive business impact that these initiatives can have on organizations?
So that's a great question, and it is something that we pay a lot of attention to as we go through these projects, working with clients to understand their metrics and how we can make sure that they're getting a strong return on investment for these types of projects. So we set up metrics such as overall data quality, number of anomalies found per data set, how quickly data is able to be transferred through the data pipeline, and even qualitative metrics such as business trust in the data, as well as others involving regulators such as how many errors are being found in regulatory filings, how many customer complaints are coming through based on incorrect data. So once we've set these metrics up, our work is very focused on ensuring that we're seeing increases and improvements in those key metrics and tying these investments back to that return. The return can be in a few different areas. It can be in increased revenue as a result of maximizing customer preferences. It can be in cost reduction, reducing the number of people that are focused on previously manual data quality efforts. And it can also be in the area of risk mitigation, reducing the number of regulatory reworks or even fines and refilings that an organization may have to do as a result of data quality. We find that although there is investment involved in this, ultimately the return far outweighs that investment because you're able to do work better and faster with fewer resources over time.
Interesting. Brian, from your perspective, the level of comfort that financial services institutions, which of course, you know, are very sensitive, very regulated, very very much managing risk, emerging technologies like artificial intelligence or augmented intelligence and machine learning and some of these advanced automation technologies, what is the level of confidence and maybe perhaps even the level of maturity of these technologies? Are they ready for prime time in such a sensitive industry?
Yeah, I believe they are. So I think over the past, you know, two to three years, we've seen a lot of advancements in the technologies in this space. And I think one of the keys to that is really having that governance structure in place, right? So you have to have some of this AI or model governance to ensure that there's no bias in your models or in your algorithms. And so really making sure that structure is in place can give you the confidence that the machine's making the right decisions. I think the other part really is the upfront training, right? So before you deploy these approaches into production, making sure that you've run enough data through the models and algorithms, and then retraining it based on those outcomes really allows you to hone in and make that model more precise.
Interesting. So immediate next steps that institutions of all sizes, beyond, you know, in financial services and beyond, Tom, what are some of the steps that people can begin to take to harness the power of machine learning and artificial intelligence to take their data quality processes to the next level?
I think that the most advanced organizations are starting to use artificial intelligence in some pockets of the business, particularly in marketing, finance, etc. And those that are successful are realizing that the sky is the limit for these techniques. A study that we recently did indicated that the organizations who are doing the most work in artificial intelligence and machine learning are actually planning to invest even greater sums than those who are lagging. So it's these organizations that are able to start expanding their use from traditional analytics to focusing on use of machine learning on data quality. The way that we recommend our clients get started is to pick a particularly difficult or troublesome data set that is causing issues in the business, maybe with trust, maybe with regulatory outcomes, and apply these techniques onto that data set. Understand if it works, show the value to the business. And once you've made that first initial small step, the business and technology start to get behind these types of initiatives. And you're able to grow the impact from there and start to implement the techniques on other data sets at different places within the data pipeline. And then ultimately use that as a catalyst to start to change how the organization does data quality, moving from that previously manual, human, error-prone approach to an automated, big data-enabled, machine learning and anomaly-driven approach.
So, Tom, could you provide an illustration or an example of how this is being put into practice, specifically in the financial services industry?
Sure thing. So we've recently been working with a global investment bank to implement this technique across their data quality processes. We started with a data set which is required to be reported to regulators as part of their balance sheet justification program. This data set was several hundred thousand rows. It was reported monthly. And we needed to improve the quality of that data set because there were key regulatory impacts, and it was taking a long time to find data quality problems and to resolve them. We started by running the algorithms over that data set, proving that we were finding more problems in the data set, but also crucially not picking up false positives. So we weren't adding to the workload of an already stressed data quality service desk. Once we'd proven the value to the business, we were able to start implementing that further up the data pipeline, understanding where these data problems were creeping in to the various systems that collate this data, and then starting to automate the process of running these checks and accepting the data as it moved from hop to hop through the data pipeline. This enabled us to both prove the business value early to the business, but also bring the IT team on board to help them to adjust the data pipeline to adopt these techniques. And that therefore had a final effect of starting to change their governance and operating model. How they did data quality started to fundamentally change from a reactive solving of some issues after the fact to starting to be proactive, understanding where issues were creeping into the system, resolving them at the source, and doing that in a far more automated and efficient and real-time manner.
And what would you say the business outcomes of that process? What were the implications and the impact that this had on their business?
Well, ultimately, there were two key impacts. Number one is fewer regulatory problems. They were able to prove that their data was of higher quality and therefore eliminate some regulatory rework with them. But even more importantly, there was that fundamental culture shift that I was talking about before. As the business started to have more confidence in the data that they were using, they were able to gain sharper and more insightful analysis of that data, understand what their clients were doing, how their accounts and trades and transactions were moving over time, and start to craft more targeted and personalized value propositions for those clients while maintaining their balance sheet and financial integrity because they truly understood the underlying investments of their clients.
Tom, Brian, thank you so much for sharing your insights on this very exciting new area of ambient data management and the specific role that emerging technologies are playing in taking data quality to the next level. Thank you both so very much for taking the time to chat.
Thanks, Lane. It's a pleasure.
You've been listening to In the Vault. For more episodes, visit listen.kpmg.us/inthevault.